Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's 7:05 in Accra and 8:05 in Lagos. A very good morning and welcome to Africa Link. I am Abubakar Jallo in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, world leaders are meeting today in the French capital, Paris, for a two-week conference on climate change.
It is our generation that will either decide whether we still have opportunities to manage a climate change scenario that is manageable, or whether we literally condemn the next generation to not even having the choice anymore.
Pope Francis winds up his African tour in the Central African Republic with a call for reconciliation between Muslims and Christians. And also, voters in Burkina Faso head for the polls to replace a transitional government.
We want change. We need a president who takes care of things. It's my duty to vote. We all want change, and that's why we turned out this morning.
These stories plus an episode of Lining by Ears Crime Fighters coming in the next 25 minutes. Stay tuned.
Top story.
World leaders are gathering today in the French capital, Paris, to kickstart 2 weeks of talks on climate change. The meeting, known as COP21, meaning the 21st conference of the parties to the Kyoto Protocol, is aimed at reaching the first truly global deal to cut down on greenhouse gas. Pope Francis has added his voice to the call on leaders to reach an agreement on carbon emission. Our Kenyan correspondent Edith Kimani has been speaking with Achim Steiner, head of the United Nations Environment Programme, UNEP. She started by asking him whether the Pope's message will influence the outcome of the summit.
I have no doubt, and I think anybody who has followed Pope Francis since he has become Pope, but particularly this year when he issued his encyclical on the environment, the first time really that a Pope has issued an entire encyclical on what I would say the relationship between humanity and the environment and nature, I think that echo and the enormous debate that it triggered around the world speaks to the fact that Pope Francis is not only leading a discussion in the Catholic community, he has become a global leader because he speaks to all of us in a way that perhaps is not defined by being the Pope of the Catholic community, but by speaking truth to power, by speaking also to each one of us about the responsibility we have in relation to nature.
But do you think such statements from the Pope are going to galvanize any sort of debate, especially in Paris, where the climate conference is about to be held?
I have no doubt, but I think what also makes his address here at our headquarters of the United Nations Environment Programme, Nairobi, so special is that he will be speaking from Africa. He will be speaking about what some of these changes in our environment, what the implications of climate change are, but also of injustice, of inequality, what the implications are for a continent such as Africa and its 1 billion citizens. That gives it a particularly important resonance. Also with a view to Paris, because what will be debated, negotiated at the climate conference in Paris will in part define the future for Africa's citizens, for Africa's economies.
But what about the rest of the world, the emerging markets and even the industrialized world? What is UNEP as a global entity doing to ensure sustainable use of energy in these regions?
UNEP has for the past 30 years been promoting the technologies that are associated with the so-called renewable clean energy economy. We are very proud, whether it is here in Kenya when we were part of the first exploratory drillings for geothermal power, whether we did the solar and wind energy resource assessments in dozens of countries across the world. We began to open the eyes of political leaders, of investors, to the opportunity when many did not believe in it or did not want to believe in it, because it is also a disruptive technology to those who have made their money and their business rooted in today's oil and gas industry and coal industries. I think the response just in the last few years to the opportunity of renewable energy has been enormous. It has actually exceeded all expectations, all scenarios. And let me just tell you, last year alone, $270 billion, close to 50% of all investments in new electricity generating technology, were actually invested in solar, wind, and geothermal.
And finally, on climate change, a personal question. Do you think this is something that we'll be able to combat in our time? Or do you think it's something that will have to be left for future generations? And is it at all possible to combat climate change?
It's a very good question, because it actually focuses our minds that it is our generation that will either decide whether we still have opportunities to manage a climate change scenario that is manageable, or whether we literally condemn the next generation to not even having the choice anymore. So yes, it is now. It is over the next 20 to 30 years that we will either be able to transition towards a low carbon economy, or we will leave to our children, our grandchildren, a scenario that is, in a sense, indefensible. Now you have a world in which, you know, global warming might be 3 degrees, with all the consequences that would be, I think, traumatic for anybody who is a parent today to even think that that is the legacy we left behind.
Achim Steiner, Executive Director of UNEP. Now, Nigerian researchers claim that the effects of climate change have contributed to the expansion of the Sahara Desert, transforming many countries, including Nigeria, into semi-arid zone. As Sam Olukoya reports from Lagos, herdsmen from countries like Chad and Niger are migrating south in search of greener pastures.
Virtually all parts of central and southern Nigeria are feeling the presence of herdsmen migrating from the north due to desertification. Philip Jagpo of the environmental group Friends of the Earth Nigeria says desertification is a major climate change problem with a potential for conflict in Nigeria.
The herdsmen who used to depend on the grain they had in the past had to start moving down to the middle belt areas where you still have some elements of grain. And this has created the conflict we know today as the Fulani herdsmen and the original landowners and killings. Every day you hear of, you know, conflict between them and the original landowners. These are some of the wider implications of climate change that we are suffering here in Nigeria.
Hundreds of lives are lost every year because of land conflicts between farmers and migrating herdsmen. Dogonahawa village has lost hundreds of lives as Fulani herdsmen attempt to dislodge landowners who are generally farmers. Bennett Palm recalls how his parents were killed when the herdsmen invaded the village.
My father, they killed him through the window when he wanted to jump through the window. That's why they killed him. My mother, that she's inside the room. And when they burned the first room, so there's no way she will pass. She now stay there. And the smoke affected her, so she now died.
For James Sunday, the herdsmen killed 6 members of his family.
It's around 2 o'clock, we are sleeping in night. So those Fulani men came. They started shooting gun. They now come to our house. I lost my father and my mother. I lost my 1 brothers and 3 sisters.
Environmentalists say such deadly conflicts over land are not likely to end soon, as the Nigerian government is not doing enough to mitigate climate change problems like desertification. Jagpo again.
As we stand, the Nigerian government doesn't have any position. There is no particular ministry of government that is tasked with coordinating all activities at either mitigation of the impacts of climate change or coordinating other actions. Now we have the Conference of Parties meeting coming up from now through to December. All they are interested in is go there, walk around, sit in the meetings, and then come back home and do nothing.
Rising sea levels in the coastal areas and serious gully erosion in the eastern parts of the country are some of the climate change problems that have negatively affected the lives of millions of Nigerians.
Sam Olukoya reporting.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Pope Francis has concluded his tour of Africa in the Central African Republic, where he called for Christians and Muslims to lay down their weapons and instead arm themselves with peace and forgiveness. He also said he hoped the upcoming elections will allow the country to peacefully begin a new chapter. The pontiff started his visit in Kenya and then to Uganda, leading a mass at a shrine where 22 Ugandans were executed for their faith. From Kampala, Alex Shita filed this report.
Pope Francis joined tens of thousands of Ugandans for a mass at the Namgongo Martyrs Shrine. This is the site where 22 men were executed for their faith under the orders of the then King Mwanga. In attendance was Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni and the country's opposition leaders, who had to put their differences aside for the sake of this historical visit. Pope Francis hailed Uganda for taking in refugees from troubled hotspots in Africa like Somalia, South Sudan, and Eritrea, among other countries.
Our world got up in wars, violence, and various forms of injustice. It's witnessing an unprecedented movement of peoples. How we deal with them is a test of our humanity, our respect for human dignity, and above all, our solidarity with our brothers and sisters in need.
The Pope then met the youths in Kampala. He first listened to two moving testimonies from two young people. They included Winnie Nansumbi, 24 years, who was born with HIV and AIDS, and Emmanuel Odokonyero, a former abductee of the Lodi's Resistance Army rebels.
As a young growing woman, I found it hard to fall in love because I thought I didn't have a right to love and be loved. I was always afraid of explaining my life. Thank God I developed a positive attitude towards this over time. Let us stand together and fight AIDS.
In captivity, we face several challenges. Poor health, starvation, beating people back with banger, and this will develop to wound in the long run. Others are swollen legs. While some of my dear friends were murdered, I asked them to rather kill me than to make me suffer such a pain. By God's grace, after a period of 4 months in captivity, I managed to escape. My heart is full of sorrow for my dear friends who lost their lives in captivity.
The Pope encouraged the attentive congregation to always have hope and never give up because of their experiences.
Alex Chita in Kampala. Voters in Burkina Faso headed for the polls on Sunday to replace the transitional government of Michel Kafando. Kafando's government was put in place after longtime President Blaise Compaoré was ousted in a popular uprising in October 2014. Burkinabes were furious at Compaoré's attempt to remain longer in office than allowed by the constitution. The country of 20 million faced further political instability in September this year after the presidential guard tried to topple the transitional administration. Our reporter Gerlin Folma reports from the capital, Ouagadougou.
Long lines formed outside polling stations, with people eager to have their say in the country's future. We want change. We need a president who takes care of things. It's my duty to vote. We all want change, and that's why we turned out this morning. Many of those casting ballots are young, first-time voters. Burkina Faso hasn't seen free and fair elections since independence from France in 1960. The country was ruled for 3 decades by Blaise Compaoré, until his ouster last year. Now 14 candidates are vying for the president's job. One of the top contenders is Roch Kabore. The 58-year-old served as prime minister under Compaoré's rule, but switched to the opposition after Compaoré tried to change the constitution to remain in office. We have broken with the old regime. That's all in the past for us. We're looking forward now. We stand for the future and all the proposals we put forward to the people to finally change things in our country. After a year of transitional government, people are hoping their new president finally addresses their needs. All of the candidates have promised to do more for young people, create more jobs, improve infrastructure, and tackle corruption in the country.
Gerlin Folma in Ouagadougou.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Welcome to the fifth episode of Crime Fighters, The Radical Journey. In Kululaland, the police are still working on the case of a female suicide bomber, Zora Kasim. The detectives have reason to believe that Zora's father, the politician Honorable Kasim, may be involved with a terrorist group, the SWAT Sages. This group is actively recruiting in the region, especially among young people. The police officer Jude witnessed a recruitment meeting, but managed to conceal his true identity. Meanwhile, the terrorist group has just finished training some new members, as we will find out in this fifth episode entitled The Initiation Test.
Hello?
Hello, Bobo.
Mom? Mom? What's wrong? Why are you crying?
It's the landlord. He's given us till the end of the month. Then we have to pay him. And your brother, Somo. I have to take him to hospital.
Mom, it's okay. Don't panic. Don't worry. Dry your tears, all right?
Bobo, I really need your help. We have to find the money.
It will be okay, Mom. I'll see what I can do. I'll call you back. I promise.
Thank you. Thank you, my son. God bless you.
Hey, Bobo. You look worried. What's the matter?
Nothing much. Just things I need to take care of at home. Money issues, you know.
I see. So, Bobo, tell me about this initiation test. What is it?
Oh, I'll be doing it myself. To prove your willingness, you have to detonate a bomb. There is a whole network of people who help set it up. It's easy. All you have to do is to detonate the bomb with a remote.
A bomb? With a remote? Detonate it where?
So many questions. Okay. So, it's all constructed at home. You use a fuse, explosive filler, and a power source, which is the trigger. Then you link together as many devices as possible. So when the first one is detonated, it also detonates all the others.
You mean in public places? With people around? Where and when is this happening?
Jude, I don't know myself. I'll be informed. I guess since it's just a test, wherever it is will be deserted.
And you're willing to do this?
I have to, for personal reasons. I need the money.
I see. Can I ask you something? Did you ever meet Zora Kasim here?
No, I never saw her here. I heard about her on the news. She shocked a lot of people. She wanted for nothing. She was one of the elite, not like us poor devils.
Hey, Bobo, isn't that Cecilia? Cecilia from English class. We went to school together, didn't we?
Yes, that's her.
What in God's name is she doing here?
Oh, yeah, I remember. You liked her in school, hmm? Jude.
What? No.
I should warn you. She is the warlord's property. So you'd better put any funny ideas right out of your head.
What?
You heard.
Mr. Commissioner, sir.
Inspector Brenda, what's happening in the internet cafe? Anything yet? Jude told us after the meeting a few days ago that his former classmate might go there to contact the terrorist group.
There aren't many people here, sir. It won't take long to find the young man Jude described if he's here.
Okay, good. The bomb squad has found some explosives hidden in a viewing center, just as Jude said. So we are finally onto something.
Whoa. Okay, sir. I'd better keep my eyes open in here.
Okay, good. So the backup team is ready. We are all on alert. Call immediately if you identify him.
Yes, sir. I'll go and take a seat at one of the computers.
I wanted to tell you that I had a problem with the test. I was all set to complete it. I went back to the viewing center, but it didn't go as planned.
Uh-oh. What's going on over there?
I couldn't do it just then, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to. What do you mean I've failed? I told you I will do it. I just need to know when I'm going to get my money.
I'll be damned. This must be the guy.
I hid it 3 days ago in the viewing center. Nobody saw me. But I told you some of my friends were there. That's why I couldn't. You know, go ahead. I have the remote. I have it with me right now. You've got to believe I'll do it, because I need that money very badly. I just need you to promise me I will still get it.
Oh, time to call the backup team.
What is it you want to see me about, Jude? What's so important that I have to meet you out here in the bush? You know this is risky.
Cecilia, you haven't changed after all these years. Still as plain speaking as ever.
Jude, why are you here? Who are you spying for? I smell a big fat rat, and if I'm right, you're going to get yourself into so much trouble.
No, Cici, I just wanted to speak with you for old time's sake. Why are you doing this? Why with that warlord?
You see what I'm saying? Where am I with Scambo? Who are you to judge me? Why are you even interested?
No. Don't take it the wrong way. I'm just...
wrong way? Listen, I have someone who loves me. Society is full of hypocrites, but Scambo, he is for real. He accepts me for who I am.
Really? You seriously believe he loves you? I'm worried about you, Cecilia.
I'm not listening to this, Jude. For your own sake, just leave me be.
That's the problem. I just can't leave you be. Open your eyes. You need to see the real Scambo.
Who are you working for, Jude? Tell me the truth. You really smell like a spy.
I can't stop thinking about Zora.
Zora? What do you mean? You knew her?
She was the sweetest thing. I shouldn't have broken up with her. Now she's gone and... I'm sure she must have been brainwashed.
So you knew Zora. Jude, listen. You have to be careful. You're messing with the wrong people.
Cecilia, you're an old friend. I care for you, and I don't want anything bad happening to you. I'm worried about the influence these people have over you, about what they might make you do.
Well, don't say I didn't warn you.
Hello, good afternoon. Can we speak to you for a moment?
What about?
I'm Inspector Brenda, and this is Mr. Cletus, Commissioner of Police. Can you please identify yourself to us?
Bobo Kuda. Why?
We'd like to talk to you about a conversation you were having earlier.
Yes? What about it? What about my conversation?
Please stand up slowly from your chair and empty out your pockets.
Why? I am a free citizen. Aren't I allowed to talk to my friends online?
Of course you are, but you'll save us all a lot of time if you just do as we ask.
I only have my wallet and...
What's this remote control for?
It's...
Hey, not so fast, mister. If you have nothing to hide, why are you trying to escape? Besides, you won't get away. We have 10 other policemen outside.
But I haven't done anything.
Bobo Kuda, you're going to have to come with us to the station for further questioning.
I am telling you, I haven't done anything.
Then you shouldn't have tried to run.
You'll have a chance to explain everything once we get to the station. Come with us, please, Mr. Kuda.
And with Bobo's arrest, we come to the end of today's episode. What will Bobo tell the police? Will he help them find the warlord Scambo? Join us again next time for another exciting episode of The Radical Journey. Until then, you can visit our website, dw.com/crimefighters, or join us for a discussion on Facebook. Goodbye for now.
And before we leave you, a reminder of the main stories. World leaders are meeting in Paris today for a two-week conference on climate change. Pope Francis has winded his three-nation African tour, and voters in Burkina Faso have gone to the polls in presidential and parliamentary elections. There we come to the end of this broadcast. You can contact us by sending an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160957595510. My name is Abubakar Jallo in Bonn, Germany. Bye for now.